When I think about breaking open the conversation of sex in the church, one of the things that I learned early on is that we are all broken and we have to lead with compassion. Let me share three stories. The first one, I was speaking at a conference. I've probably only been teaching a few years. Speaking to couples at a conference about sex. And halfway through, during the break, a woman came up in tears with her husband, and she said, "Thank you for everything that you're doing, but I have to leave. You see, I was sexually abused by my father when I was a child, and this is just too hard for me. I want to do this for my husband, but right now, I'm not ready." The second story, I made this friend through, she actually came to one of my sex classes and ended up, she lived close by, and so she ended up giving me a ride home, and we just instantly connected. And a few weeks later, I ran into her again, and she was at a conference that I was at for people that struggle with pornography. And she was there because her husband was struggling. And this is a couple, I would just never have guessed that this was part of their story. The third story I share, I remember a friend who took an Awaken Love class, and she was so excited. She was sharing with all of her friends. A lot of her friends had come to the class. She was just like one of my biggest promoters. But she had this, her closest friend, she talked to her about the class, and her friend had kind of put her off. And my friend Pam just wouldn't let it go. She's like, "No, you've got to go to this class. I know this will help your marriage." And eventually it caused a rift in their relationship. And I don't know why her friend didn't want to go to class, but I'm sure there was a reason. And I'm sure that Pam was completely clueless why she didn't, what was going on with her marriage. I tell you these stories because when you begin to open up the conversation of sexuality, one of the things that you have to realize is that you have no idea what's going on in someone's life and what they are dealing with. They could look like the perfect put-together marriage. They could look like the perfect single person. You have no idea. And so there's such an importance that we break open the conversation of sex that we realize that every single one of us is broken. And that we have to lead with compassion. So I want to share just a few practical ideas on how to do this. The first one, it just comes out of those first three examples, and that is, always remember that you have no idea what other people are dealing with. Just assume that right off, that they have brokenness in their sexuality. Number two, I think it's important for all of us to admit that we don't have the answers. I constantly teach classes and I hear about hard situations and I don't have the answer, but I know that God does. And so I think it's important to not just like think that we do. All we have to hang on to God's truth and present God's truth, create safe places to open up. But don't pretend like you have the answers for somebody else's struggles or issues in the marriage. Number three, I think it's important to not joke about sex. And this can be really subtle. For instance, I heard a sermon once on sex at a church. And how cool that this pastor was willing to take on the topic of sex. But right from the beginning of the sermon, he was in trouble because the first thing he said, he got up on stage, he said, "I know, guys, This is the one you've all been waiting for, the Sermon on Sex. Now, in his congregation, I guarantee you, there were guys that didn't want to have sex. And there were wives sitting right next to him that felt absolutely hurt because she had the husband that wasn't interested in sex. There were also wives that felt like sex was a duty she had to give to her husband. And it was this constant duty. And here the guys are joking about, yep, we get to talk about sex. So we get to try to get our wives to have more sex with us. And so there are all kinds of different ways where this joke could have been taken the wrong way. And so I just really encourage you. People are broken. And this is one of the most vulnerable areas of their life. You need to resist the temptation to, because you're feeling uncomfortable, to relieve your discomfort by joking about sex. Number four, people that come to class are often really nervous. And one of the most important things that I do is to put them at ease and to just tell them, you know what? There is no wrong place to be in your sexuality. You simply are where you are. Because we're all broken, right? There's no wrong place to be. You are where you are. All I want to do is help you understand what God wants for you and to help you make a step towards that. And so we need to put people at ease that it's going to be a judgment-free zone, right? Number five. One of the things that I've realized is that people don't think sexual healing is possible. So as we lead with compassion, we need to start talking about the fact that God heals sexual struggles. And if you've made mistakes in your past, you haven't ruined your sex life. If somebody's touched you inappropriately in your past, you're not ruined for life. God can heal even those things. And so we need to open up space to hear their stories. We need to encourage other people to hear their stories, to share their stories and their testimonies of healing. We need to pray for people. But we need to point them towards resources for further healing rather than saying, just stop it or just pray about it. Healing is possible, and I believe God wants to heal in the area of sexuality. The next thing is we need to invite them in, but never trick them. Don't force them. Don't guilt them. We need to respect their choices. People need to be ready and open to dive into this conversation. The next thing is we need to equip and empower others to minister in this area of sexuality on an individual basis. Because sometimes a friend feels like a much safer space than a pastor or a group of people. And so let's equip and empower people to speak about sex and then remind them to invite and present opportunities for that to happen. So let me just give you a simple example, right? Women come to my class and quite often they'll tell their kids that they're going to a Bible study, or when they're reading their books about sex, they'll hide them because they don't want their kids to know they're taking a class, or maybe they don't want other people to know that they're taking a class. Well, I often encourage them, like, this is a unique opportunity. Maybe this is the opportunity to open up the conversation with your kids and with other people that need to hear the truth about sex. And so what if you let people see that book on sex? What if you told your friends, hey, I'm taking this crazy Christian class on sex? What if you didn't tell your kids you were going to Bible study, but you told your kids, hey, I'm taking a class about making sex and marriage great because it takes hard work. It doesn't just naturally happen. And I want our sex life to be strong and awesome because I believe it's an important part of marriage and God created it and I want to go after it. You know, open up this conversation with your kids where your kids suddenly realize, oh, my mom and dad actually have sex, and or they want to make it better and it's good in marriage. And the last thing I just want to say about you know, us all being broken and leading with compassion is this takes an army. It's not about one person teaching. This is about relationships and creating places for people to be honest about who they are and for others to be honest with them.